Well, my friends, I hope you had a spare moment during the week to read through Philippians. It's this wonderful letter of joy which we are doing on Sunday mornings. So let's open our Bibles again. And this morning I want to cover verse 3 to verse 7 for you. Now, before we ever turn to the Bible, we always pray, so let's ask God to help us. It's always a tremendous joy for us, Lord, to turn to the Word of God and to listen to what God is saying into our lives. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to us. You know each one of us. You know our end from our beginning. And we pray that the Word may be like a two-edged sword today and bringing us to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, you may remember last Sunday morning, we began with Philippians and we had a look at chapter 1 and verses just 1 and 2 with you, because that set the whole setting for this letter. And what Paul did there for us very simply is he gave us a picture of a real Christian. And what a great place to start. He told us that the title that is given to all Christians is that of saints. So we had lots of discussion at the different meetings. People were coming up to me and saying, "Hey Warwick, are you a saint?" I said, "Well, are you a saint?" And we got the biblical grounding on it, that a saint is any person who has really come to Christ. But the world has totally misunderstood that. We live under the lordship of Jesus. He is our sovereign Lord and our Master. And the setting in which we live, for them it was at Philippi, for us it's in Pinetown and in Africa. Now what happens now, friends, from verse 3 to verse 7 is, if I may say that to you today, absolutely magnificent. There are very few passages in the New Testament as encouraging as the one this morning. He's going to now cover the whole question of assurance. Joseph Carlyle wrote these words some years ago. He said, "The greatest thing that we can desire next to the glory of God is our own salvation. But the sweetest thing that we can desire is the assurance." Now there are some Christians, sadly, who have never come to the point of having assurance. If you read some of the Puritans, and a man by the name of Thomas Brooks, he said this: a lazy Christian will always lack four things. They will always lack comfort, contentment, confidence, and assurance. Because God has made a separation between joy and idleness, between assurance and laziness. So what I'm going to do with you this morning is very simple, but I hope for some of you it'll be incredibly helpful and put your mind at rest until the day that you die. I was in two minds as to whether to do it or not, but I just thought now, just introducing it to you, I will do it. I don't keep any of my letters except one or two very, very special ones. This is a letter written to me in 2001, so it shows you a number of years ago. He was one of the top architects in Pietermaritzburg, and he, for a number of years, he worked in Saudi Arabia, a top, very wealthy man. And somehow Arthur Liesroff and I got friendly, and I had the joy of leading him to Christ, and he became an amazing Christian. He left us just before this date to go back to England, and he was told that he had terminal cancer. And he says this: "The medical people have made it quite clear, Warwick, that it's only a matter of time now. They've told me what my responsibility is, to get up and to look after myself as much as I'm able to do. But I want to tell you, the most wonderful thing that has ever happened to me in my life has come about. I have been given free assurance. My spiritual life was put on track by yourself and one or two others, and now I have assurance. And you know, that gives me a bit of a lump in my throat, because there's a man that had come to know the Lord fairly late in life, but didn't know whether he was really a Christian. And then it came home to him. And he died, and is with Jesus now. But what a wonderful thing. So that's the topic for this morning, all right? The most encouraging word in the world. So what we're going to have a look at is, number one, the divine basis. Now keep your eyes open at the Bible and look at verse 6 as we have a look at the divine basis of assurance. Isn't this wonderful, friends? Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we are all naughty sometimes. And often when we talk to one another, we don't mean it in the wrong way, but it comes across in an unbiblical sense. And we hear people saying, you know, the day I gave my life to Jesus, or the day I made a decision to come to Christ, or the day I decided to go forward and give my life to the Lord, and so on. You know, you've heard folks talk about that. But I want you to know this morning, friends, that if your assurance is based on what you have done, then you're on sinking sand. I want to show you now the divine basis. And it's three things. Number one, that all Christian experience was begun by God. See our verse 6? He who has begun a good work in you. That's the first thing that I want to really try as much as I can to bring home to you this morning. That your Christian life was planned and executed to absolute perfection by God. So what happened to you was this, and to me, or to Arthur, is that by nature, you and I are dead spiritually. Is that right? That's what we are by nature. By nature, we are unable to turn to God. We can put men on the moon. We can devise these phenomenal technological discoveries. We can do all of that. But there's one thing that man cannot do. The natural man cannot, by himself or herself, turn to God. Because we are dead. We are dead. We are dead in our sin and dead in our trespasses. So what happened? God took the initiative. That's what happened. And God came to you and to me, and he started a work. It's called regeneration, by which the principle of the new life is implanted into man. And because God had begun this work, we were then able to repent. We were then able to turn to Jesus. We were then able to pray. We were then able to ask Christ to become our Lord and our Savior. But we could only do that because of God's grace to us. He opened our eyes, and he opened our ears, and he opened our heart. Let me give you a great illustration from the Bible. You all know that we did it last year in our studies in Acts. Which is an amazing story. On the surface, it doesn't always come home so clearly. But there is the Apostle Paul coming from thousands of kilometers away, and a little lady, a very good businesswoman, called Lydia. And she also came from hundreds of kilometers away, but they were drawn to Philippi. Never seen or heard one another ever. And they were drawn by something amazing to go to a little prayer meeting next to a river in Philippi. It's crazy, isn't it? But God was working. And as Lydia hears Paul's preaching, it says this, the Lord opened her heart. Oh, those are beautiful words. And she has her heart opened by the gracious working of God's Spirit. She responds and she is born again and becomes a Christian. That's the divine basis. That God who has begun a good work. Alec Mottier, to wrap that up, says, no individual sinner would be saved had he not been made the object of God's adopting choice before the world began, and had not his heart been opened at that decisive moment to hear the truth, the gospel. My precious friends, as you sit in this beautiful building this morning, and you say, you know, Warwick, I'm a Christian, I want you to remember, it wasn't you. It was God. God loved you and caused the dead to come alive. And so the work was started. It was only begun, but it was a deep, sincere work that happened in the heart. Secondly, God then undertakes for its progress. See our verse, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on. Did you underline that? You know, I was hoping to hear some amens when I read that. Because that's very encouraging. So when God starts a work and a person becomes a Christian, God continues that work. The theological term is not worth all that much. It's called sanctification. Listen, it's a gracious, continuous operation of the Holy Spirit by which he purifies the sinner, renews his whole nature in the image of God, and enables him to perform good works. Now what God does is, listen to Hanley Mole. He's a lovely writer, hey? He says, God will, quote, evermore be putting his finishing touches to it. So here's a person become a Christian. You know what, friends? It's the most wonderful thing to witness in a church. There's nothing more encouraging than that. Because what happens is, before your eyes, you see somebody changing. The old goes. Let me tell you, he won't mind now, he's in heaven. Let me go back, it just comes to mind, that man Arthur. I went to him, I said, now Arthur, you're a Christian, you must help me build some buildings. He said, yeah, I'll help you. But I said, but it's for the Lord, eh? No cost. Yeah. Ow, and he got cross, eh? And he bashed the door down and he shot off back to his office. So I said, no, that's fine. But you know, he came back. Oh, it was humbling. It was, oh, mom, nothing. And he said, I want to say sorry. Sorry. I should never have reacted like that. But you know what happened before us? We saw a very hard man soften, become gracious and godly. And in the afternoons, he gave up his work to go and visit the prisons. And I used to go with him, and I used to say, you know, Arthur, you're a miracle, man. You're a miracle. It's wonderful to be here next to you. You see, God, who has started a work, continues the work. And all those rough edges go off. They get smashed off. And we are becoming more and more and more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He who has begun a good work in you will carry it on. Isn't that encouraging? So now you can see how silly it is to believe that you can become a Christian and then lose your salvation. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. Because when God starts a work, He carries on that work. And so there's going to be tremendous change. This person will grow spiritually. They will mature in their walk with God. The old things are going to go slowly, and everything is going to become new. God promises that. He begins a good work, He carries it on. Question. What happens if someone says, I've become a Christian, but there's no growth? Then you must say, there hasn't been a conversion. Because he who has begun a good work will carry it on. Thirdly, he guarantees the outcome. See? It's lovely just to go verse by verse. God, who has begun a good work in you, will carry it on to what? To completion. And so you and I, by the grace of God, through his infinite mercy, and we hold on to that, are going to go home one day. This is known, as you all know, as the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. We should rather call it the perseverance of God with the saints. Because God continues, God begins, and God takes it right through to completion. So if you're a Christian this morning, dear brother, and my dear sisters, you'll never ever lose it. God will never, ever let you go. You're going to grow. You're going to mature. You're going to be ups and downs. But God who has started is God who continues, and he'll bring it through to completion. Just sing if you're awake. He'll bring it through to completion. Now, is there any other verse more encouraging than that? I don't think so. That's the assurance. But if you say the assurance depends on whether I do this or I do that or I do this, then you're in sinking sand. Our assurance is rather based on what God has done. Right, let me move on. There are just 2 points this morning, a few sub-points. But what's number two? The human evidence. Now, when God is at work like this in a person's life, starting the work, continuing the work, completing the work, you will find that there are the following 6 evidences. 6 evidences will always result in a person's life when this great work of God is taking place. The first one is there in verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart. So there will be a love for fellowship. I'm sure that happened to you, didn't it? You became a Christian. Suddenly you had a great longing to come to church on Sundays like we're doing this morning. Or to get into a ladies group. Or to get into Men for the Master. Or to find one of the cell groups. But there's fellowship. It's a great thing. It's wonderful. We've become brand new people. And we've all got the same interests. We're all here to serve Jesus Christ and to bring this gospel to a lost world. Somebody's got no desire for the things of God, then there's something wrong. Because the human evidence that God is working is that there's fellowship. Number two, there's evangelism. You see verse 5. Paul thanks God for their partnership in the gospel. There's a great longing to share the gospel. Let me read you, I don't know if it helps, but it helps me. Thomas Watson, another one of the Puritans. This is fantastic. How do you like this? He says, assurance makes us active and lively in God's service. It excites prayer. It quickens obedience. Faith can make us walk, but assurance makes us run. We can think that we've never done enough for God. Assurance will make a man or a woman fervent, constant, and abundant in the work of God. When the assured Christian has done his work, he calls out for another and he says, what's next, Lord? Don't you like that? Now these Puritans were writing in about the year 1700. Just time for some water. You see, assurance is a beautiful thing. We don't deserve it. We don't get proud. We are humble in our acceptance of it. But we know that God is working, and that drives us into reaching other people for Jesus Christ. People that live next door to you. I help a little bit at the Umvoti Mounted Rifles just here on the highway. We've just taken over the old highway commander. It was terrific this morning to see some of the officers here today. Of their own free will. I said to them, I'm coming to you, but you've got to come to me. That's the rule. Are you sure? Yeah. So he sat right at the door so he could duck out, but I don't mind. Wonderful. I want to help them. It's fantastic. It's opportunities to bring the gospel. You see, so there's fellowship, there's evangelism. The third evidence in verse 7, he speaks of the confirmation of the gospel. We all want to have it confirmed. The only way to get it confirmed is by the meditation and the reading of God's word. And so we find when we become Christians, there's a terrific desire to get to Bible studies and start reading good books on the bookshop here. We love to do that. You see, before we Christians, our money gets spent on everything else. But now you're buying books and CDs and DVDs and anything to help me get established. Number four, in verse 5, there will be perseverance. You see, growing on. This person's become a Christian, and they're growing slowly. Oh yes, but it's happening. And they're persevering. It's no up, down, up, down. Are you a Christian? Are you not a Christian? Sort of stuff. No, no, no. There's perseverance. The perseverance, they keep going on. And number 5, endurance. See verse 7? Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, you're all sharing God's grace with me. Last one, listen to Bishop Ryle. We often quote him to you. Assurance makes us patient in tribulation, calm in under bereavements, unmoved in sorrow, not afraid of evil tidings. In all conditions we are content, because it gives us a fixedness of heart. It helps us to feel that there is something solid under my feet, firm in my hands, a sure friend on the way, and a wonderful home at the end. Isn't that magnificent, friends? You see, endurance. Frank and Zilla are two folks serving at one of our little churches in Kenilworth. Some of you know about it. And about 3 weeks ago, their daughter and her husband were burnt to death when the gas cylinders exploded in their home and the place went into an inferno and they didn't get out. But they got the children out, 9 and 10 from what I can gather. And my mom was chatting to me the other day, just saying, you know, it's absolutely amazing. Here are these two folks getting on in years, no bitterness, no resentment. just the Lord gave, and the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he's just started, I think last Sunday, that preaching. That's what assurance does. It helps you endure. And lastly, number 6, it helps you in the defense of the gospel in verse 7. So do you see how glorious a passage it is? There's the divine side. He starts, he continues, and he will complete. How do I know it's happening in my life? There is fellowship, evangelism, establishing perseverance, endurance, and defense. Well, number 3, what the results then, dear brothers and sisters, as we come to communion? What are the results? The first result, of course, then, is confidence. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy. And you know what? It's not proud. It's not arrogance. We just say, thank God that he who started a good work in me will carry it on and bring it to completion. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. But secondly, that doesn't make us careless. It makes us careful. And in response to that, we don't resort to any complacency or anything like that at all. This tremendous sense of what God has done drives me to pray, to read his word, to love his people, and to love the lost. So last week was the Christian's title. Today, the Christian's assurance. My prayer is that every one of us in this lovely building today may know this assurance by the grace of God. Let's pray together, friends. Lord, here we sit together on a beautiful spring morning. And the wonder of all wonders is that you have loved us. And you sent your precious Son to die on a cross for us. And thank you, Lord, for enabling us to turn to him and to know that you'll never give up, but you will complete the work. Oh, we love you, Lord. And we long to live a life that will please you. And this morning as we now come and partake of the Lord's Supper, we do it with love and devotion, remembering the one who loved us and gave his life for us. Amen.